Lord God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for all the blessings that you shower upon us. We thank you that we can come here and be in community together and pray and worship together. We pray that today you would speak to us, that even now you would be preparing our hearts and these words to be your words and help us to receive them. Open up our hearts and our minds and our spirits, even now, to encounter you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, finally, we come to the end of our 36 mega week series on growth, specifically spiritual growth. We began this series a long time ago, but we were asking some questions. Questions like, how do you grow? Where does that growth come from? We asked questions like, how do you know you're growing? Because growth isn't always instantaneous. Are you growing better today, or are you not growing at all today, and do you know? And then we kind of asked the question, what are you growing into? What kind of person are you becoming, and how are you doing that? And we've gone all throughout the Bible. We spend a lot of time with Jesus. He spent a lot of time talking about growth and all the rest. But today we come to the end of the journey. And if you're just joining us for the first time this week, you get a kind of a bonus because you didn't have to do all the work. And you'll just get some of the jewels from the last 36 weeks in the next 20 or 30 minutes or so. But today I want us to spend some time not just looking back at what we've learned, but I want us to talk about what growth does in us, who growth is really for, and then finally, how are we going to then grow into the future? But before we get too far into this, I want to set before you two different plants. These plants are the same kind of plant. They have lived at the same address for about the same amount of time. Both have grown over the past couple of months, weeks, years. But as you can see, they are very, very different plants. While both have grown, they have grown in very, very different ways. One of these plants doesn't look very cared for. It looks neglected, unloved, forgotten even. It looks malnourished, thirsty, and sick. It does not look healthy. This plant looks like it's doing okay. It looks healthy. It looks full. It's producing flowers and fruit. It looks cared for. And again, I think it's worth pointing out, both of these plants have grown, but in very, very different ways. And it seems to me that the primary difference between the growth in these two plants has to do with the level of care and nurture that went into them. Someone worked on this one. No one worked on this one. And these are the results. Maybe this sickly plant just didn't think it could grow anymore. It's too old. It's tired of growing. Maybe it didn't value its growth. Maybe it just didn't care. Maybe it was focused on other things. Maybe it was too busy with something and it just forgot to grow. Maybe it was something was wrong and it didn't get addressed. I mean, there was some issue and it just went without someone fixing it. Maybe it was in the wrong place. It was somewhere unhealthy and no one moved it to somewhere else. But over time, those conditions caused it to grow badly. This plant, on the other hand, was obviously cared for. Someone cared about how this plant was going to grow. Someone made sure it had what it needed to grow. Someone made sure it was protected from overly harsh conditions. Someone made sure that it had everything it needed. It had water when it needed water. Someone weeded the plant so that it could grow healthy, and it did. Two plants, both grew, but only one is healthy. One grew well, and one did not. And my question this morning is, how are you growing? How is your spiritual life growing? Is it healthy or not? Which plant, I mean, if you had to kind of, your spiritual life is a whatever kind of a peach drift rose. If that is your spiritual life, does your spiritual life today look a little bit more like this? Or a little more like this, or somewhere in between. What does your spiritual life look like today? Now, 36 weeks ago, we began to study this topic of growth. Because we wanted to grow deeper as people, we wanted to grow healthier, we wanted to do a better job of growing. We want to become people that God has made us, created us to be. And so we started talking about Romans, and we started just digging into our roots, some of the roots of the faith. What is it that we believe that's crucial, that's important for growth? From there, we started talking about some of the stories of Jesus and Paul as they started talking about growth. And we talked a lot about how growth ultimately comes from God, that we play a part in it for sure, but ultimately it's only God who can make something grow. I can plant a plant. I can care for the plant, but I can't make the plant grow. I've tried. It's my frustration with all gardening is I'll go buy a plant and I'll do all the work and then I'm like, go. What? I can't do this every day, plant. Like, so if you grow right now, I'll take care of you as you go. But if it's going to take a couple weeks, well, I might forget. I may not do the work that I need to do. But the fact of the matter is, I can't make it grow. Only God can make something grow. I do the work of watering and nurturing and making sure it has what it needs. I take out other things that are weeds and stuff that'll take the nutrients or choke out the plant, but it's God who can only make it grow. And this makes sense when you think about it for a minute, because it's how it works with all of life. When life is nurtured and cared for, it tends to get healthier. When it's not being cared for, it doesn't. Healthy growth is rarely an accident. It's something we have to be intentional about. And it shouldn't be surprising. If you want to get stronger, you go to a gym, you work out. There are things you're supposed to do to make yourself physically stronger. And then, hopefully you get stronger. But you'll notice, you're not the one knitting your muscles together. You can't act. There's no reason that I can think of where your muscles choose to grow back stronger after a good workout. They just do. It's God who makes it grow. We have a role to play. If you want to get smarter, school's about to be starting. If you want to get smarter, there's work you have to do. You have to learn and study and all the rest. But just because you're reading and studying doesn't make you smarter. That's kind of a little bit more mysterious. We have a part to play in growth. But ultimately, it's God who does the growing. And why would it be different in our spiritual lives than any other category of growth? That we have a role to play. That God wants to do this growing in us, but if we haven't done the work, we may look a little bit more like this than this. Are we doing our work? And then finally, we spent a little bit of time talking about what is it that we're growing into? Are we becoming the people that God has created us to be? We spent some time talking about the fruit of the Spirit. If you're walking with God, are you growing in those ways? Are you becoming more loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, and self-controlled? Because those are characteristics of God. And so it only makes sense that if we're spending time with Him, those characteristics will rub off on us. It works with other people. If someone has a weird, catchphrase, or they're funny in a certain way, and you spend time with them, you start to, even if they have a funny facial expression that they make whenever something's happening, you'll find yourself making that same if you spend enough time with them. It's just part of our nature. So it only makes sense that if you're spending more time with God, that you would then take on these characteristics. That you would start to become more like He is. We even had an experiment at some point in the midst of this series where we handed out lima beans. And we all planted our lima beans and we watered them and we put them in dirt and all the rest and we waited for them to grow. And they didn't grow. Partly because God didn't make them grow and partly because I gave out really bad seed. So they just didn't grow. But then we gave good seed and then you watered it and you still couldn't make it grow, but it did. It grew, and we brought them back a couple weeks later. There's work that you have to do to make something grow, but it's God who's the one who's doing the growing. Which brings us back to these two plants and our spiritual life. I ask again, which plant resembles your spiritual life better today? And what are you going to do about it? Because it should be noted, this plant's not dead. It's just not healthy. You could work this thing back to that. And so with that as review and introduction, let's turn to our scripture of the day. If you would, I would encourage you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 24. You can find it in the Bibles you brought with you. Bulletins and screens have it as well. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 24. This is Paul writing to the church in Ephesus, and really the church all over. And in it, he says of Jesus, "It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful schemings. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." Amen. Paul begins our passage by pointing out that Jesus gave us some gifts, gave gifts to the church to prepare his people, to help us know and believe him more. It seemed that part of God's purpose was that we would become mature, that we would attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. In other words, that we would grow to become more healthy. You'll also notice that the goal isn't simply to be older. The goal is maturity. The goal is fullness. The goal is the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's what we're striving toward. That's what we're supposed to be growing into. We're supposed to be becoming more and more like him. Your inner self should start to look more and more like his inner self. And so if you're like me, we have some ways to go. Your reaction to things should be like his reaction to things. We should have the level of patience that he has, love that he has, compassion that he has. And if not, we've got some ways to go. I think sometimes we trivialize Christianity. We make it all about just getting into heaven. You go to church a couple times, you say a prayer, you do a thing, right foot in, right foot out, turn all about. That's what it's all about. We're trying to get into heaven. That's the goal. But Paul here seems to think that a lot of this faith, a lot of Christianity, is about becoming like Christ. Maybe when our spiritual lives are healthy and we're becoming who God has made us to be, maybe that's when we really start to grow more and more like him. Maybe that's why God seems to stress growth so much, so that we can become the people he's made us to be. So that we would grow the ways he wants us to grow. I used this quote earlier in this series, but it's important. And I told you I'd use it again. There's a pastor named A.W. Tozer, and he writes this. He says, "We must have better Christians." To talk of better Christians is to use language foreign to many persons. To them, all Christians are alike. All have been justified and are forgiven and are children of God. So to make comparisons between them is to suggest division and bigotry and any number of horrible things. What is forgotten is that a Christian is a born one, an embodiment of growing life, and as such may be retarded, stunted, undernourished, or injured very much as any other organism. Favorable conditions will produce a stronger and healthier organism, whereas adverse conditions. The issue isn't just if you're growing or not. The issue is, are you growing into the fullness of Christ? The issue is health. Healthy organisms grow in good ways. Unhealthy organisms don't grow very well. And they don't grow in healthy ways. I mean, you can almost think of some of this as, think of a season in your life where you were growing spiritually, where you were maturing spiritually, and when you were healthy. And then think of all the other aspects of your life during that season. How was work? How was your personal life? How stressed did you feel? How much balance did you feel in your life? How much community were you in? And then think of a time you weren't growing, that you weren't so healthy. How was work? How was your personal life? How was all the rest? It's amazing how much of our lives are tied together like this. Maybe part of the reason we're supposed to focus on our spiritual life is it produces fruit far outside of just our spiritual life. Maybe it has an effect on all the other aspects of who we are. But the goal of growth isn't just that. It's not just for us. In our individualistic, consumeristic culture, we've been taught that the only thing that's important is that you're getting something out of it, and if you're not getting something out of it, there's no reason to have it. If it doesn't feel good, don't do it. It's all about you. But that's just not true. That's not how growth works. At best, it makes growth simply selfish. Just something we do for ourselves to feel good about ourselves. But what if growth is not just about us? Paul talks about how the goal isn't just that we as individuals grow up, but that we corporately, as a body, grow up into Him who is the head. That we together become the body of Christ. And maybe then, and only then, can we really experience this fullness of Christ that He's talking about. Maybe we can't grow into this without being in community, without being part of the body of Christ, experiencing the fullness of Christ. Paul seems to say and to think that we each have a role in the body, and that if we're not all doing our individual parts, then the whole body suffers. That we're not whole unless everyone's doing what they were made to do. Part of the reason we go to church is so that we can spend time with the holy, with the divine, so that we can confess our sins and learn and serve and fellowship together. But what's wrong with that image of church is that it's all about me, about what I can get out of church and what I don't get out of church. And church was good today because I got something out of it, and church was bad last week because I didn't get anything out of it at all. It was kind of useless. But that sounds like a selfish reason for doing church. Whereas Paul seems to think that there's another part of doing church together. Paul seems to think that the other reason for doing church is for what I can give to the body, how I can help others in the body, how I can serve you. How horrible would it be if someone wasn't experiencing the fullness of God today, or next week, we'll say, because you won't be there? I mean, God may have been working in someone, and there's this growth that they're just on the cusp of this growth, and it's not even that you're having a spiritual conversation next week. You actually are just telling a joke that you heard, but something in that joke does something in that person that catalyzes a whole different level of growth in them. But it's raining next week, so you didn't come to church, so that didn't happen. So they don't have that growth, or you were tired, How horrifying would it be that someone's worship could just be better next week? Not even because you're singing, because you're not a good singer, but just because during worship at some point you smiled and they happened to look over, and because of what God's doing in their life, they saw it, and it brought them to a whole different level of worship. And it doesn't happen if you're not there. It's kind of frightening, isn't it? Someone else's spiritual growth may have a ton to do with you. It's why we do church together. Because together we're the body of Christ. And we each have a part to play. But there's another consequence to this understanding. And that is, that means all of our individual growth isn't about us either. Because if we're the body of Christ here in this place, and some of us are growing, and some of us not so much, there's going to be an imbalance. I mean, if you're the body of Christ and you have a couple of these around, it's not a healthy body. I mean, you put on the church sign, we are the church of the bum leg and the tweaky elbow. Because, you know, someone's working the leg. I mean, someone's the leg and they're growing in their faith, but the ankle's not working. You may be the ankle of Christ. And if you're not growing, but the rest of the body, we're going to sprain an ankle. We won't be able to run without you. Therefore, it matters to me that you're growing more healthy in your faith. And it should matter to you that I'm growing more healthy in our faith. And the person next to you, it's important that they're growing in their faith for you and vice versa. It's why we do this church thing together. Because I need someone to encourage me and to help me along every once in a while and to share the load every once in a while and to pray with me and for me every once in a while. This is why I harp on growth groups so much. I'll be very, very honest. Sometimes they're a pain. Often I don't want to go. We normally go on Sunday afternoon, so it makes for a long, long Sunday. But I don't think you can do the faith for very long without committed community. I just don't think you can do it. You can try, good luck, but Jesus didn't. He had a community. Paul had a community. All the people of faith that I can think of had a close-knit group of people. People who could encourage them and hold them accountable and challenge them. Pray with them. Help them grow healthier. I need you to do that for me, and I need to be one who does that for you so that we all can grow up in the faith. It doesn't work any other way. Now you may be thinking, well, okay, but that sounds like a lot of work. I mean, all this stuff you've been talking about, it sounds like we have to do a lot of stuff to grow. Yes, you do, because growth takes work. We're on our way into the fall coming up. And one of the questions, I kind of posed it a little bit last week, but I'm going to pose it stronger this week. What are you going to do different this next season of life than what you currently did? I think it's the mistake we make as Christians more often than not is this is our results. And so we say, we'll just do the same thing we did last time and hope for that, even though this is what we got last time. What are you going to do different this fall than last year? A couple suggestions. Prayer. I don't think you can grow in the faith without it. And that's not to say that when you pray, like suddenly you'll, oh my gosh, I'm growing deeper and all the rest, because you probably won't. But I don't know that God can grow you all that much deeper without the prayer being there first. That there's something about that it does work inside you. That gets you ready to grow. Buy a prayer. Pray if you know how, just do it. If you don't, buy a journal. If you're new to prayer, just write letters to God. Dear God, I'm having a bad day. Signed, Tim. And hopefully the prayers can grow from there. But that's a good place to start. There are books that have just example prayers. They're all very old, so they sound very, very ancient. But there's something cool about those, too. If you want one of those, let me know. I'll give you the title. There's some great ones out there. But books, say the Lord's Prayer and just make it yours. Forgive me my debts, like that time that I hurt that guy. And help me forgive my debtors, that guy who owes me. So help me forgive better. Just make the prayer your own a little bit. Bible study, an obvious one, an easy one. I don't know that you can grow without it. That's not to say that when you open the Bible for the first time, all of a sudden you'll just, oh my gosh, I grew. You won't. But I don't know that you can grow without it. The question then happens, it's a long book. Where should I start? There's all these pages. Start in the beginning. It's a good book. There's some good stuff that happens in Genesis. And then read Exodus and then skip a few and come to me when you get to a boring part and I'll tell you how to get past it. But or in not this coming fall, but next fall, we're going to start Luke and we're going to just do it for like a year and a half. Get a head start. It's a great gospel. Learn who this Jesus guy is. Just start in Luke. Read Luke 1 today. It'll sound a lot like Christmas, but Luke 3 won't, Luke 3 will, but 4, at some point you'll get out of Christmas, and then it's the story of Jesus. But start reading. Be in community together. Join a group. In my mind, growth group is kind of a beginner thing. It's kind of a base. Everyone's in a growth group. I mean, if you're just getting started in the faith, this is a big step for you. But after that, you all should just be in some form of community, some form of close-knit community, so you can pray with each other, pray for each other. Because who knows when you're going to need it? You probably won't on day one. But who knows what happens down the line? And I love hearing the stories of someone gets hurt and they're in a hospital and their growth group shows up. I wouldn't want my pastor showing up if I'm in the hospital. I want my growth group showing up. Because they've already been praying for they're in my life already. But you don't know you need it till you need it. What is it for you? What is the thing that you can do different this year? The steps you can take? Frankly, it's going to be part of the growth groups this year. I'm going to change one of the questions around a little bit so that it just becomes a question we ask each other. What are you doing different this year? How's it going this week? Maybe for you it's simply showing up to growth group. Maybe it's some prayer, I don't know. But find something. A plant needs water. It needs sunlight. It needs good soil. And if it doesn't have those things, it doesn't grow well. And our life isn't that dissimilar than that. So that's a really depressing ending of a sermon, so I'm not going to end it right there. Though we have some work to do, think of something you can do. But there's some good news in all this as well. And it came from a kind of an unlikely place. This week, when I was buying these two plants, I went to my garden place. I got a guy there. He can talk to plants. He can smell them or whatever it is, and he's like, here's what this one needs. Here's what that one needs. And he's fantastic. So I go in and I say, hey, I'm a pastor, and I have an odd thing. I need a plant that's virtually dead. Find me one that looks horrible, which is hard because he's a good gardener. So all the plants really look good. So he had to kind of search around for a little bit, and finally he found this thing under something, and he's like, ha-ha, I found it. And then I'm like, well, what does the real one look like? He's like, it looks like this. I'm like, perfect. And so I got the plants, and he's putting the plants in my car. And as he's putting the plants, and he kind of leans in a little bit. He understood what I was doing. I mean, like, healthy growth, not healthy growth. It's pretty self-explanatory. But after that, he leans into me, and he goes, you can bring this one back. It's not dead. You just need to cut it back a little bit, but it'll grow. And I thought, that sounds a lot like Jesus to me. Your spiritual life, your actual life may look a lot like this today. But here's the thing. This thing isn't dead. I mean, there's some dead branches that you got to cut back, and it's kind of, it needs some work, don't get me wrong. But maybe repot it, maybe cut it back a bunch. It could look like that again. It'll take some work, but you can bring it back. It sounds a lot like Jesus to me. Seems like Jesus was about taking things like this and bringing them back, restoring them, and making them healthier than they ever were before. Because Jesus is not just the good gardener, he's the grower. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you are a God who brings life, that you are a God who brings health, that you are a God who wants us to grow. And we pray that we would do our part, that we would partner with you in what you're doing in us, that we would partner with you and that we would spend time in prayer, spend time reading the Bible, spend time being Christians together in community, because who knows what you'll do from there. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who can take a plant and a life that's barely has life left in it, and you can breathe new life into it. And so we pray even today that you would be breathing new life into us, making us more and more like you have made us to be, bringing us into the fullness of Christ, that we would live that out. We pray all these things in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand as we close in worship.